Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I'm wanting to wish you a happy Easter, or as we Christians know it, as Resurrection Day, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was put in the grave, and then came out of the grave on that first Sunday when they found that he had conquered sin, the grave, and death, and is alive forevermore, and promises salvation for us. I originally was going to preach today on how Satan often shoots himself in the foot, but I found something else that I wanted to talk about today that I think is just as good a message, and so I'm going to share that with you. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the second part of the verse, 7b. I'm talking about the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. In 1991, a story surfaced from Operation Desert Storm about a soldier who got a Dear John letter from his girlfriend. While the others around him were getting wonderful love letters from their girls back home, this poor guy got the letter from his girl that said they were through. Worse than that, she was getting married to someone back home. Adding insult to injury, she wrote, "Will you please return my favorite photograph of myself? I need it for my engagement picture in the newspaper." Well, the poor guy was devastated. His girl was marrying someone else, and now she wanted her photograph? It was too much of a defeat for him. When a buddy found out what happened, a plan was hatched. From every corner of the camp, soldiers handed over their extra photos of their girlfriends. There were hundreds of photos. The jilted soldier put all the photos in a shoebox and mailed it home with a note. "Please find your picture, but please return the rest. For the life of me, I can't remember exactly which one you were." With a bit of different pictures, a different perspective, life was different for both the soldier and the surprise girlfriend. Our perspective of Easter is on the other side of the ocean, too. For many, Easter is marked by candy and a Santa Claus imitating bunny and bright new clothes and breakfasts, brunches, and all kinds of things. Even in our churches, very little of the ancient Middle Eastern backdrop of the resurrection surfaces. Instead, a candy-carrying bunny, Easter's much more than another animal. Easter was all about a lamb. When Jesus lived, lambs were a central part of the spiritual life of Israel. If you were Jewish, there was no need to explain the significance of something so common. For centuries, lambs had died for the sins of the nation. Inside the walls of the temple, two lambs died every day, one at 9 a.m., the other at 3 p.m. In Exodus chapter 28, verses 29 through 31, it says, "In this way, Aaron will carry the names of the tribes of Israel on the sacred chest piece over his heart when he goes into the holy place. This will be a continual reminder that he represents the people when he comes before the Lord. Insert the Urim and Thummim into the sacred chest piece so they will be carried over Aaron's heart when he goes into the Lord's presence. In this way, Aaron will always carry over his heart the objects used to determine the Lord's will for his people whenever he goes in before the Lord." When the lamb died, a priest would sound the shofar, a ram's horn, and even people who didn't witness the event would realize that a lamb had just died for the sins of the people. It had been a sacrifice marked by blood, and the literal meaning of sacrifice in Hebrew is to slit the throat. In addition to the twice-a-day sacrifice of lambs, there would have been countless lambs dying on the major Jewish holidays. It happened year after year, century in, century out. Because of the sins of men, lambs had to die. How many hundreds and thousands of lambs had died for the sins of the people? They numbered in the millions. As shocking as a single sacrifice might be from our perspective, could there have been an opposite impact 2,000 years ago? Could the death of a lamb become so common that it had lost its punch, that people weren't thinking about it? I mean, that's kind of happening in our church today with our relationship with Jesus Christ. We kind of take him for granted. Could the fast work of things at the temple make the entire process too clean, professional, even too far removed from the people? Could so many lambs have become, in a sense, invisible to the people who were so used to this happening in their religion? The lambs weren't invisible on Passover. Maybe that's why Passover was such an important holy day for the people. This was the most personal connection between people just like us and the blood sacrifice that God required for sin. For a few days, every family in Israel would have a lamb, and every person in that family knew that the lamb in their home would have to die for sinful choices that he or she had made. Imagine a family preparing for the Passover some 2,000 years ago. Most families didn't have flocks of sheep, so most families would depend on the shepherds to bring the lambs to Jerusalem every spring. A few days before the holiday, each family would purchase a lamb. The father bargained for the lamb and purchased it, and the family took it home. And imagine what an impact it had on that home. Families had to house the lamb for a few days. Children would make pets out of it, pet it, and mothers would feed it, and everyone would hear it and smell it and know that it was there. It had become a pet. More than likely, many tried to ignore the lamb. After all, it was a condemned creature. It was going to die. That, however, would have been impossible. That's what made Passover so different. Unlike the daily sacrifices, which most people didn't see, everyone lived with the Passover lamb for a few days. Everyone got acquainted with the lamb. Everyone realized why this lamb in their home would die when the hour came. This lamb, a child would quickly come to understand, will die because of my sin. There must have been a nationwide flood of tears over such a loss. It was quite an object lesson. These Hebrews were taking home with them the idea that because of their sins, this lamb had to die. You know, Jesus died while the entire nation of Israel was celebrating Passover. That's not a mistake or a coincidence. It was the most remarkable object lesson in history, and it shouldn't have surprised those who witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. Isaiah included the idea in his writings about the Messiah. The Christ, he said, would be like a lamb led to the slaughter. John the Baptist had proclaimed it down at the river. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. After the resurrection, as the early Christians changed their perspective, Peter called Jesus the Lamb in his first letter, and Paul called Jesus the ultimate Passover Lamb. In Revelation, John refers to Jesus as the Lamb 28 times in 18 chapters of the book. Our text this morning is a short one from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. The passage in its context has nothing to do with Easter. He's writing a word of correction to the church at Corinth, a word of correction dealing with sexual sin of all things. But in that word, a correction, he says in 1 Corinthians 5:7b, for the Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. That's a short text for an Easter message. It's even out of context, but that's the point. Paul made such an assumption that we would have a clear understanding of the lambs of Passover. He didn't even explain it. He just said it in passing. Jesus was our Passover lamb, and he's been sacrificed. If we could reverse roles with Paul and write him a letter, perhaps we'd mention riding down the interstate or going to the grand opening of a new shopping mall or how we just watched some children play soccer. Without a lot of study on his part, Paul would not have had a clue what we were talking about. If he was to understand our letter, he'd have to understand our culture, our times, our lives. Well, we must do the same thing with the time and culture of the Bible, and this little statement is a profound example of that truth. Beyond understand the culture of the ancient Israel, we also must understand the truth of what the Bible says is true right now. Now the Lamb of God sits at the triumphant right hand of God the Father. Jesus is a powerful, majestic, and completely worthy of worship Lamb of God. The song of heaven is this, according to Revelation 5:13, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. What made the difference? What transformed this image of a lamb from a silent, defenseless, small lamb dying for the sins of the world to a suddenly powerful, unstoppable, worthy of worship Lamb of God in heaven? The resurrection made the difference. It's Easter that made the difference. Resurrection Sunday. Look at the truths the Bible tells us about the Lamb of God. One, through the death of Jesus, the Lamb of God, God communicated his love for us. There were years in my life when I wondered why God would drop the Savior of the world off in such a forsaken, out-of-the-way sliver of land, a place like Israel. Why the Middle East? Why in such a time? Couldn't there have been a more efficient place and a better time? In reality, it was the perfect place and time because God does everything perfect. In that day, Israel was the physical crossroads of the world. Merchants and travelers had to use Israel, just a thin sliver of safe passage sandwiched between the sea and the desert, to reach major destinations in Asia, Africa, and Europe. After centuries of warfare, after the rise and fall of various world empires, the world was finally armed with a common language, safe roads, and frequent travel. For the only time in Israel's ancient history, the nation also had its own seaport, just built by Herod the Great. Israel was literally the most visible, accessible place in the entire world at the very time the world was finally prepared for a vast dissemination of the most important story ever told. The message of that story? That God loved us. He had loved us so much that God had actually given his only son to die. And whoever believes that message shall have eternal life. The Bible at the center of the story had been prepared for centuries on the significance of an innocent lamb dying for sinful people. For more than 2,000 years, lambs have been dying as a sacrifice of sin. When Abraham nearly sacrificed Isaac, the question from the boy was, "Father, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb?" Lambs had been dying as a substitute for sin for hundreds of years, just to prepare the way for the day when God would communicate his ultimate love for us through the Lamb of God. You know, through the death of Jesus, the Lamb of God, we understand the high cost of our sin. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, 6 through 8. You know, it's a sin that is so painful. Had a family ever lived an entire year sin-free, they could have released their Passover lamb, but none could ever do such a thing. No one could today either. The lamb had to die, for the wages of sin is death. But the price of sin is so high, it's so personal. It's the feeling of millions who exited the showing of Mel Gibson's The Passover a few years ago. The Passover of Christ, I mean the Passion of Christ. Understanding the reason for such suffering took place was because of our sins, because of their sins. It was my fault. It was your fault. Jesus was convicted by a Roman ruler and carried away by a mob intent on bloodshed. But the reason Jesus died exactly where he died and exactly when he died was to pay for our sin. The resurrection of Jesus, the Lamb of God, can make the ultimate difference in life. There's a sense that the rules all change with the resurrection. Never again would a lamb die for the sins of the people. The Lamb of God had died, and it was truly forever finished because he alone was worthy to take our sins upon himself. The tomb was empty on Sunday morning. God the Father loved the Son so much that not one second of morning sunlight would be wasted. When the daylight came, the earth shook, the stone moved away from the entrance, sleepy soldiers fell down as if they were dead, and angels waited for the first of the believers to come and see the difference a resurrection would make. And it would make a difference of joy. Listen to Mary as she sheds tears of heartbreak and then was turned to speechless celebration because of the resurrection, because she met her Savior Jesus Christ alive outside of the tomb. Each one of the disciples was transformed because of the resurrection. Thousands began to believe, and then millions because of the resurrection. In time, over the last 2,000 years, entire governments and cultures and educational processes have been changed because of the resurrection. Ironically, a war raked over Jerusalem just 40 years after the resurrection, and from that day until now, Passover lambs have not been sacrificed. Could it be that God was sending another message to the world that since the Lamb of God had died for sin, there was no need for further loss of life? Because of the resurrection, we have eternal life if we will accept it. We have an abundant life. We can have a life free from the bondage of sin. Remember the passage from Corinthians when Paul quickly referred to Jesus as our Passover lamb? The context of that passage was a call to major change of behavior because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, Paul taught Christians needed to walk away from sexual sin. In fact, all sins. The resurrection makes difference in every aspect of our lives if we choose to let it make a difference. Henry Barbusi tells of a conversation overheard in a dugout full of wounded men during the First World War. One of the men had been terribly wounded, and he knew he had only moments to live. He had a friend with him, one who had already seen a bad start to a bad life. He'd made wrong decisions many times. He'd already served time in prison. In fact, he was wanted back home by the police again. The wounded man, the dying man, pulls the wanted man down close to his face. He takes his dog tag, his ID chain, and presses it to the hand of his buddy. "Listen, Dominic, you've led a bad life," he said. "Everywhere you are wanted by the police, but there are no convictions against me. My name is clear, so here, take my dog tag, take my wallet, take my papers, my identity, my good name, my life, and quickly hand me your papers that I may carry all your crimes away with me in death." You know, that's the same offer that Jesus Christ makes to us through his saving death on the cross and his life-changing resurrection. Jesus, the Lamb of God, still offers to take your sins to the cross with him. And because of the resurrection, you can take his good name, Christ, and you can become a Christian and live in freedom. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life? I hope that this Resurrection Sunday, I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I hope that your sins are covered by the blood of Christ and you're ready to have eternal life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each one that's listened to this broadcast today that you'll help them to do some heart searching, to make sure there's nothing between their soul and the Savior. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that any that have not accepted you would, at this point, confess their sins. Let you become their sacrificial lamb in their place and take your identity as a Christian and live a life knowing that they can live a life forgiven of sin, free from the things, Lord, that would end up sending them to hell, that they can have eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I will not be at the church this Sunday, but there will be another man, Joel, who will be preaching in my place. I'm going to be going to a family reunion, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm not exactly sure when we'll be back, but I'll do everything I can to have a broadcast for you again next week. God bless you. I would recommend that you go to the First Baptist Church in Holbrook tomorrow and celebrate Easter. I would recommend, you know, that get involved in the church. I know that they would welcome you. Again, Sunday school starts at 10 a.m. Morning worship's at 11 a.m. And there will not be any evening service this week only. The church is located at First Avenue in Buffalo. God bless you. Have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. And don't forget to remember that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he died in your place. Amen.